First Thessalonians chapter 5, well, the Apostle Paul was only there in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. And a huge part of his teaching was end times Bible prophecy and the rapture. Are you sure about that? He was only there 3 weeks, and I want you to watch, especially this first verse here. Hey, Thessalonica, you know all that you need to know. Watch this. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, remember the context from the end of chapter 4, was the rapture. We shall not all sleep, all of us. Some of us, when Jesus arrives, he's going to take us. We'll be taken in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This incorruption will put on this corruption will put on incorruption, and up we will be with the Lord to meet him in the air. That's what he's talking about. But concerning the times and seasons, and you can write in your margin for the rapture, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. Look at this, verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly. That's the word that means completely. He was there 3 weeks, and I want you to notice that when he was there, a big part of the gospel, a big part of learning about God's word is end times Bible prophecy and the rapture. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, the rapture, so comes as a thief in the night. What's that about? That means the people of the house were not expecting it. That's how a thief makes his living. If they're not expecting it, then he can do what he does. He can do what he does. Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus said to the Pharisees, no man knows the day or the hour. And also he said to the Pharisees, who were, remember, seeking a sign, show us a sign, as if raising people from the dead, walking on water, healing the sick wasn't enough. Jesus also said this, if you want to, in your margin, you can write Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3. Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3. I'll read it to you. When it was evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites. You guys remember that old one? Red sky at night is a sailor's delight. That means the storm is over. Oh, but red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. So they knew that. So he's saying you guys can read sort of the heavenly sort of signs, meaning the weather, yet you're missing the most important sign of all, me. The hundreds and hundreds of prophecies concerning Messiah, and I'm standing right in front of you. Whoop, right over your head. Hypocrites, said Jesus. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Now, we don't know the day or the hour. Jesus himself said so. We won't know the day or the hour of the rapture. But the word is saying here, Jesus is trying to communicate to those disciples, but you are held responsible, these Pharisees, and even to us today, we believers in God's word are held responsible for understanding and discerning the signs of the times. And we too are responsible for knowing them. In fact, I wrote them down for you. Are you ready, Chris? Many of you have seen these before, but if anybody's kind of tuning in for the first time, you know, my grandmother used to say that Jesus was coming back, you know, during World War II, and of course with Hitler doing what he was doing, that might have made a pretty good case, only there was one important and glaring problem. There was no nation of Israel on the planet. These next 10 sort of signs of the times are fairly recent. The biggest one of all, go, is when Israel is back in the land, May 14th, 1948. And that is so crucial because since 70 AD, since the Romans kicked them out, they've been all over the planet. Even that was prophesied by Deuteronomy chapter 28. But now, since 1948, likely the hugest sign of all. And most people don't even know that. Well, Israel's always been there, haven't they? And few people, it would seem, fewer than maybe should be, they don't even know that until 1948, there was no people of God in the land of Israel since the Romans booted them out. Matthew 24, let's hold your finger here in Thessalonians. Go to the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to show you something pretty important that Jesus said about this, about Israel becoming a nation. Chapters 24 and 25, I hope to go over when we complete our book of Revelation, because with the book of Revelation close in the rearview mirror on Sunday mornings, chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew will make way better sense. And here's one of them. Are you in chapter 24? Look down to verse number 32. This is Jesus in the last week of his life. Verse 32, now learn the parable from the fig tree. I could show you all kinds of verses that fig tree is a model of Israel. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. And in this part of the country, that was something that everybody knew about. One of the first leaf-bearing plants to show its leaves in the spring is the fig tree. Verse 33. So you also, when you see all these signs, know that it is near, even at the door. That's chapters 24 and 25. When they ask him, when Jesus said, not one stone is going to be left upon another in this great temple that you guys are looking at from the Mount of Olives, they came up next to him and they said, when is that going to happen? And this is his answer. So chapter 24 and 25 is answering the question, when is the temple going to be destroyed? What will be the sign of your return and of the end of the age? He's answering this. He's talking now about Jerusalem specifically and Israel. So you also know these things. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Verse 34. And assuredly I say to you that this generation, the one that sees the fig tree bloom, the one that sees Israel become a nation again, will by no means pass away until all these things that I've been talking to you about since verse number 1 take place. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Let me rephrase it. The generation that sees Israel become a nation, move to the left, go to the first portion of chapter 24. Let me show you with a little more context. Flip back to verse number 3. Now when he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, this is just after he has said, see these buildings that they were so impressed with? Not one stone is going to be left upon another. And they're wondering, well, Herod's been building, and his boys have been building on this thing for more than 50 years. And it's going to go down? When? Verse 3, now when he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came privately saying, tell us, number one, when will these things be? When's the temple going to be destroyed? And number two, what will be the sign of your coming? We know that as Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus comes back to the planet. And number three, the end of the age, meaning the end of the humans running the things on planet Earth. When is the millennial reign of Christ going to begin? Watch Jesus' response, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. In other words, do your homework, Harvest. Let's read these things and know them, kind of like Paul was saying. Verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. He's going to talk about these as birth pains. How do birth pains look? They start relatively at ease or not as intense and far apart, but as the birth time arrives closer and closer, they become more intense in frequency and intensity. Everyone would know that. Now also keep your mind open here, because you're going to see that Jesus is also going to give us the outline of the book of Revelation. What do you mean? Verse 5, For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. You can write in your margin. That's seal number one of the book of Revelation. It's not going to be written, of course, by John for another 50 years. But this is seal number one. The white horse is the Antichrist. The red horse is wars and rumors of wars. This is Jesus outlining that right now. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. There's your black horse. There is your world wars going all over the world. Nation against nation, that is ethnos in Greek versus ethnos. Have you noticed that there's always been ethnic issues since humans have been around? But have you witnessed the whole idea of I am the Christ? More and more people are claiming that they are. And the whole idea of wars and rumors of wars. Currently, there are several wars around the world. But in the last century, we had two world wars. And even now, do you hear a lot? Wars and rumors of wars? And is there even now, perhaps more in America than ever before, ethnicities against ethnicities? It's becoming more and more pronounced. Also, not just ethnicities as tones of color on our skin, but have you noticed that political silos, as they've been described? I'm in my own silo with my own Instagram account, which, of course, the algorithms know what I'm watching and feeds me more and more and more of it. Then I sit in my political, economic, whatever silo, and I don't understand yours. In fact, I don't like yours. And the rhetoric is heating up, just like the birth pains we're going to hear about here in a minute. And then we're going to see famines and pestilences. That, of course, is the pale horse. That's seal number four. That's diseases. Earthquakes in various places, verse 8. And all these are the beginning of the sorrows. Circle your word sorrows. That's the Greek word odin. And it means birth pains. Verse 9. And then they are going to deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for not my name's sake. That also is going to happen in the natural, but this is also speaking of seal number 5. That's the martyrs of the fifth seal. Verse number 10. Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. That's another seal. And for many false prophets will rise and deceive many. That's happening in the natural. And also this is Jesus foretelling and predicting more seals of the book of Revelation. And then lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. Seal number 6, anarchy. So what's going to happen? Well, Jesus just told them. And then it goes on also in chapter 24 more. But that little notion there about the nation of Israel will become a nation again after being a long time away. Let me rephrase number 1. Jesus said that the generation that sees Israel become a nation will not all pass away until seals 1 through 7, trumpets 1 through 7, and bowl judgments 1 through 7 are completed. In other words, when Jesus arrives on planet Earth, Revelation 19, there will be people alive who were alive in 1948. That's quite a prophecy. Number 2, I believe that weapons of mass destruction. It was premature to say Jesus was coming back until weapons of mass destruction are on the planet. Well, how do you know that? In Matthew 24, verse 22, Jesus talked about if I didn't shorten the war of Armageddon, the humans will have developed weaponry to such an extent that they would no flesh be left on the earth. That's a technology statement. When he said it 2,000 years ago to us, bows and arrows can only do so much damage. Let me ask you, since the Manhattan Project and J. Robert Oppenheimer et al., now is it do the humans possess the ability to literally scorch the surface of the earth several times over? That's a technology statement. That is one of the signs of the time. Number three, go. Satellite telecommunication. In Revelation chapter 11, there's another technology statement. That there are two witnesses that show up there in Jerusalem, and for 1260 days, nobody can kill them. They try, but they're supernaturally protected. Through that first half of the seven-year Great Tribulation, when the ministry is done, the Lord takes off that supernatural covering, and they are killed. And here's the peculiar and interesting detail. And the whole world sees their dead bodies. How was that even possible before? Satellite telecommunications. On our phones, are we able to visit any part of the world real time? It was premature to say Jesus could come back at any time before this technology statement, and of course, this sign of the season in which we're living. Then number four, go. Internet sexual perversion. One of the signs that Jesus said would, before he returned, would be, it's going to be a lot like it was in the days of Noah, when men's heart were evil continually. We're much more sophisticated at it these days, but what is available to come through the screen of your phone or laptop? What? Anything and everything. It's a well-known data research point that internet is most often used for pornography. Yeah, it's used for all kinds of other stuff, but it is mostly used and trafficked by people trying to download various information, imagery, and what have you. It's almost like you can get done with your job or your responsibility, retire to the privacy of your own wherever, and in a glow of your screen, you can saturate your head, mind, and heart with all of the smut. It's happening. Are we getting close to what Jesus talked about? That in the case of many, with pornography at all, is flowing through people's brains every single day. Go number five, global banking and monitoring system. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 17, remember, when the Antichrist does his thing, one of the elements that he will enforce, you cannot buy or sell anything without his mark in the skin of your right hand or in your forehead. When that was written, when John wrote that down as Jesus dictated it to him, that of course was preposterous. In a barter society, I trade a pig for whatever service you make clothes for my family, whatever it might be. And who is possibly able to monitor all that? Let me ask you now, is it possible to shut off somebody's money? Yes. Well, you have on your credit card, very likely you have a number or you wrote it down somewhere, that if you lose your credit card, it is wise to call the number, get online, and shut off your credit card lest someone else would use it. That's just good business sense. Well, is it possible that someone could get a hold of that system and shut off anybody's money? Yes. And as I've told you before, a couple years ago, I was in Italy and I slid my card in an Italian mom and pop store. I got some look like Gatorade and some chocolate items. And I paid for it with my card from Washoe County, specifically Reno, Nevada. And it went through. I'm in Italy. Clear across the planet, and my card from Reno Sparks worked. That is a relatively new financial circumstance. Global banking and monitoring system now has arrived, largely because of the satellite telecommunication. Number six, Rome rises again. A lot of people don't know it, but the Bible says in Daniel 7 and Daniel 2 that there's going to be the Babylonian Empire. Happened, check, done. Then the Medo-Persian Empire, done. That's check as well, King Cyrus. Then there's going to be the Greek Empire. That's Alexander the Great et al. Check. All happened just as Daniel prophesied. And then you're going to have Rome. But you're going to have Rome A that will rise and sort of just kind of peter out. And then you're going to have Rome B in the last days. Rome B is what the Antichrist will take hold of. You've seen these pictures before, but in case you haven't, go ahead if you would, Chris, real quickly. There's the Roman Empire, pretty big, one of the greatest empires the planet had ever seen. Go, here's a map of the European Union, laid over effectively some of the very same geography. That particular picture shows who's in, who wants to be in, who's out. That looks suspiciously very similar to the Roman Empire. Go, and as we talked about a couple of Sundays ago, it started in 1951 with the Treaty of Paris. After World War II, many of the European nations recognized that they couldn't mount a unified front, and they didn't have the industrial power or the economic might to fight the Nazis. So after World War II, they said, let's change that. Let's work together in a co-op, which would eventuate into a United States of Europe. Started in 1951 with those six guys representing six nations. Go. It's doing quite well. Here is the Washington, D.C. of the European Union, Brussels, Belgium. That is their headquarters. Go. You go inside. It is massive. They have sometimes elected, but often not times elected. All those seats are people, representatives from the 27 nations and other nations that want to be a part of it. That whole big room gets filled up, and then they conduct affairs of state, if you will, a unified Europe. The apparatus is already in place. When the right person in Europe arises and has the demonic power and influence, genius and military might and economic genius as well, he is going to take an apparatus that is already in place. I believe that that is Rome B getting ready to rise. Go. They're going to continue now. Number seven, Russia and Iran are allies. And this cracks me up. I would say, call it 150 years ago, who even knew about Russia? Well, it was a pretty big expanse of property, but did they have any real, I don't know, effect on the world stage? No. And did you know that there was no such nation called Iran until after World War I? And yet in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Bible knows that one day Persia, because remember the Bible calls those ancient lands by the people who settled them. Humans keep changing the names of places, but you can't change your ancestors. So when the Bible mentions these Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal, and then also we have Persia, you find their current day designations. And some of this coalition is going to be Russia, and very important to this coalition that will one day attack Israel again is going to be Iran. Amazing. And the Bible talked about it. And I got to show you this. Go ahead, Chris, if you would. This is June the 21st, 2025. Well, what is that? Do you remember when the U.S. B-2s, those stealth bombers, flew all the way from the continental United States and put those unimaginably powerful bunker-busting bombs into the centrifuges and missile development and manufacturing centers of Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan? Do you remember that? And then the next day, here is President Trump, Vice President, and there is our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, and then Pete Hegseth, the Department of Defense. They say, we did it. We destroyed the Iranian nuclear facilities, and we took their missile capacity to build them, test them, and to launch them. And most of us went, okay, this is a fulfillment of Jeremiah 49, verse 35, that God said, I will break the bow of Elam. What is Elam? It's the western portion of Iran. That's where Susa was the capital of the Persian Empire. Your book of Ruth takes place in the region. And God prophesied that one day Persia, more specifically, western Persia, Elam, God was going to knock the bow, destroy the bow, break the bow of Elam. And our president did that. That night, you're seeing the news sort of release, that was a fulfillment of Jeremiah 49, verse 35. Jesus, woe to anyone who doesn't recognize the signs of the times. Let's go back to our list. Number 8, the nations of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 are in place. We have teachings on that if that's interesting to you. It is astounding. Number 9, go, a great falling away from doctrine. We saw that in 1 Thessalonians chapters 1 and 2. And we saw it in chapter 4 as well. There's going to be a great falling away. What do you mean? That means that from the church, there will be a great move away from Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. Towards what? Largely topical studies and people going to church in great numbers, perhaps, but they know little about their Bible. We sang about that tonight. That is the church of Laodicea. Jesus prophesied that those seven churches, they really existed in John's time, but they are also prophetic of church ages. The first church, there's the church of Ephesus. That's the apostles until they died. Well, what happens next? The enemy goes after the church and tries to kill them. Millions and millions of your brothers and sisters were killed in the Colosseums, torn apart by lions, set on fire. That's the church of Smyrna. That's the next 200-ish years when the devil tried to kill the church from the outside. Then you go to the next church, Pergamum. And that's the time when the Bible says, or I should say the enemy says, this isn't working. I make it tough on the Christians. They just get stronger. And the peripheral and the wannabes, they don't want any part of it. So the devil says, I'm going to go inside the church, and that's prophesied by the church of Pergamum, where the church marries the state, so to speak. Well, then you have the Roman Catholic Church. That's Thyatira. Then you have the Protestant Church and all of the denominations. That's the Church of Sardis. And then you have the greatest evangelical church, missionaries going all over the world, 1750s to, I call it, 2018, when Billy Graham passed away. God says to the church of Philadelphia, I've put an open door that no one can shut. That was the greatest evangelical move that the church ever saw. That's church number 6. What's church number 7? Laodicea. They're going to be big on emotion. They're going to be big on show, colors, fog machines. They're going to be very excited to be together. But by and large, they're taught by multiple small groups, very often by men and women who do not fit 1 Timothy chapter 3 or Titus chapter 3. And many of the pastors and pastorettes are going to be inspiring many, but not necessarily good in biblical doctrine. Paul's talked about it. He said in the last days, people will heap unto themselves teachers to tell them what their what? Itching ears want to hear. And ever learning. Go to 1,000 Bible studies, 1,000 retreats, but never coming to the truth. Going to church, raising hands, But living a life and the garbage coming out of their mouth, it is most prevalent today. I think the great falling away, we're in the midst of it. We are really in and truly in the pervasiveness of the Laodicean church. And then number 10, the Trump 20-point peace plan, a.k.a. the Abraham Accords. I've done a teaching on it. Go ahead. I think I have a slide on that, if you would. We did a teaching on this, and if that's interesting to you, get on YouTube and type in Steve Hadley peace plan, and this will come up. If we go through the 20-point peace plan, it is absolutely harvest, absolutely unprecedented, absolutely amazing. I believe that this is a huge sign of the times. Well, what are you talking about? For when they, now we're back to Thessalonians. Back to Thessalonians. Verse number 1, real quickly to catch up. But concerning the times and the seasons of the rapture, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. To the unsaved, we are not to be like a thief in the night. He'll say in a minute. And these signs of the times we're going over. Verse 3, for when they, who is the they? I think that's speaking of world leaders. For when they say peace and safety, some of your translations say peace and security. Watch out. Then suddenly destruction comes upon them. Hit our go button if you would, Chris. I believe that the Trump 20-point peace plan, the Abraham Accords, is absolutely a mega sign. What are you talking about? Well, when they, the world leaders, say peace and safety, who has publicly endorsed the Trump peace plan, peace and security of the Middle East? For more info, see this guy here, or the teaching that I did. But here, the United Nations, European Union, Great Britain, Palestinian Authority, those are the Palestinians, these have all issued full-on endorsements. We're in. Egypt, Indonesia, Jordan, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia is about to join the Abraham Accords. And how do you say Saudi Arabia in Ezekiel 38 and 39? You say Dedan. Here they are. Turkey, United Arab Emirates, Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation. That's the United States of that region of the world. That is their sort of 21-nation confederacy. France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Netherlands, Australia, India, Japan, South Korea, Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Mexico, and even Russia's Vladimir Putin has given, quote, conditional support. Take a breath, Steve. No Middle East peace plan has ever had such worldwide support. Number 10, the Trump 20-point peace plan and the Abraham Accords, you guys need to understand, I believe is setting the stage for the Antichrist to do what the Bible says he will do, make a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years. And when they say peace and security, then sudden destruction comes upon them. When the true church is raptured out of here and the Antichrist emerges, I believe he's going to tweak with this peace plan so that the whole world buys in. He adds one significant portion, a 7-year guarantee that no one will attack Israel and that a third Jewish temple be built on Mount Moriah. Have you been watching more and more and more news coverage about people in Israel are saying that we deserve and it is time for our third temple? Have you heard about some of the protestations on the mosque of the Al-Aqsa Mosque? In fact, even if they got the green light tomorrow, it'd take them a long time to get ready to build that third temple, right? You've been with me long enough, but for those of you who haven't seen it, go ahead if you would. They have redone all. Everybody say all. All. They have remade all of the temple artifacts. Well, how did they know how to build them? Easy. Go to the book of Exodus. All the instructions are there. The same instructions to Moses. Moses came down Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments under one arm. And what was under that other arm? The blueprints of the tabernacle that he would build with very minute specificity. And the Jews have rebuilt them all rabbinically pure and acceptable. That is the menorah according to Exodus. And it is gold. It's $4 million worth of gold. Go close up on the bowls on the top. The Levitical oil has been made. Those are reservoirs there on the top. You take the top off and you trim a wick into it. And then you light the wick. And there is your seven-branch lampstand that is Levitically correct and ready for use. Go. We'll go quickly. That incline are bricks and tile that are made according to Levitical pattern. He is taking his ash pot. It's made of brass up there. And on top, of course, one day will be the brazen altar. I haven't seen a picture of it, but I believe they've actually completed it. That ramp sits on a various bunch of stones that were collected starting about 5 years ago near the Dead Sea with a stipulation no tool can ever come upon it. So those Dead Sea stones are underneath those tiles. And if he keeps rolling up, he will go to the what I believe is completed brazen altar. The guy's just not wearing pajamas. Those are Levitically correct priestly garbs. That guy's cheek has been swabbed. His DNA, mitochondria, has connected him to the Kohenim. The last name Cohen got them started because Cohen in Hebrew means priest. If your last name was Cohen, very likely you have some connection to the Levitical, the tribe of Levi, and Levitical priests. And they made those connections in the late 1990s. They're so good at it now, they now know who Levitically, mitochondria DNA that you get from your mom, they know who are directly descended from the tribe of Levi. And that guy has been proven so. Go. We'll go quickly. There is the actual golden altar that's going to sit in front of the veil, which will be sitting in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And that is an actual, I think it's the same guy, actually. And that has been Levitically correct. That's going to go in the third temple. Go. This on top is beautiful. This is a finished, solid gold. Remember the censer? You're supposed to take a coal from the brazen altar, put it in the censer, pour some oil over it, and a curl of smoke represents the prayers of the saints ascending. That's it. That is ready to go. Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, is a priest, and he is doing that. He has taken a coal from the brazen altar outside of Herod's temple. He's put it in a vessel that looked perhaps even exactly like that. And he brought it in and set it upon, hit the up arrow, Chris. He set it upon that golden altar that looked exactly like that. And that's when the angel stepped out from behind the veil and said, you and Elizabeth are going to birth a fulfillment of the book of Isaiah. Behold, one crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. He is going to point to Messiah. It happened at the golden altar of incense that looked exactly like that. Down arrow. And this article or something very close to it is what Zechariah was holding when that happened. Go a few more. Here is the only picture I've been able to find of the laver. That's the base of the laver. The bowl itself will hold a bunch of water, and there's a, not spigots, but there's a downspout all the way around it. That right there, you're looking at the base of what will go in the third temple. This was taken probably 9 years ago, so it's all done. Go more at the Temple Mount Institute. That is the table of showbread, ready to rock. Go. And, of course, the Ark of the Covenant has been completed. that the garb to the left is all strictly made according to the book of Exodus. That is what the high priest will wear when the third temple is done. The 12 stones on his breastplate are all accurate. They are engraved with the 12 tribes of Israel. The little bells, pomegranates on the bottom of the hem, the ephod, the crown, it is all finished. Go. And then some of you saw this. These are the actual plans of the third temple. There it is. Go. Here is a generated computer model. This is what it will look like. There's the third temple, you guys. They're not messing around. They're ready to rock. Go. Hit the circle. There is going to be the holy and the holy of holies. Hit the go button. This is absolutely amazing. Hit the go button one more time. That is the Holy of Holies that the Antichrist will go into one day at the midpoint of the Great Tribulation and put a statue of himself. Hit the up arrow, Chris. Hit the up arrow, go ahead. That is the plans and the scale model all done and completed. How long is it going to take them to build that? It may take them a couple years, but you need to know something else that the Temple Mount Institute has done. They have made the four wrappings and the boards and the sockets for the Moses-type tabernacle that is now and currently ready to go. It may take them a while to build it out of stone, but when the Antichrist gives them the green light, they will have a functioning, Levitically perfect tabernacle of Moses up and running within hours. Are you seeing with me that Jesus said, you may not know the day or the hour of the rapture, but do you know the signs of the times? Hit her down arrow. Down arrow one more time. That holy of holies. All right. Whew. Now let us finish. We are still in verse 3. Sudden destruction. The 7-year tribulation comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Write in your margin, Matthew 24, verses 3 and 13, which we read. Odin was the Greek word, and it is birth pains, increasing in frequency and intensity. Are we seeing all of those earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and ethnicities warring against ethnicities? Oh, man. Until the birth of new life, that is the revelation of Jesus coming down on planet Earth. Verse 4. But you, brethren, you harvest, you are not to be in darkness, so that this day, what day? The rapture should overtake you as a thief. We should be ready. We should be knowing the signs of the times. Verse 5. You are all sons of light, truth, and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness, which is an idiom for people bumping around because they don't know what's going on. Verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, the non-saved or the non-biblical. Lots of churches. The Laodicean church age is not a big fan of talking about end times Bible prophecy. They don't like it. Cramps our style. After all, God wants you what? At peace, healthy, prosperous. That's not the message I hear Jesus or the disciples teach, but we'll continue. You do not, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And that is why we teach prophecy here at Harvest Family. Because Paul told me to. And here we are, right here. He was only in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. Do you see? A huge part of Paul's teaching must have been end times Bible prophecy and the rapture. Verse 7. For those who sleep, they sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate, guards the heart, if you will, the emotions, of faith. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and love, and as a helmet, which guards your brain, your mind, the hope of salvation. If I put on consistently the breastplate of faith, God's word, and the helmet of hope, what is God's hope? The absolute certainty that God is moving. Then I will consistently live in the comfort that the Lord is in complete control. Go ahead, Chris. That is not a kosher red heifer, but a few weeks ago, a red heifer was Levitically treated in such a way that the jugular vein was poked, the animal went to sleep because of low and loss of blood pressure, and then they burned the animal because they have to get it right. They have to get it just right, because the ashes of a correct, Levitically correct red heifer, after the fire has died, goes into a special solution of water, and that is sprinkled to rededicate a plot of real estate. Why? Because that real estate will be the place of the third temple. And there is a group of Jewish people, the businessmen, who have purchased a portion of the Mount of Olives. Much of the Mount of Olives was owned by Arabs and even Muslims. But not that long ago, a consortium of business people, they actually purchased just enough land on the Mount of Olives, because the Mishnah says that when the ceremony of the ashes of the red heifer happens, it's got to happen on the Mount of Olives. And it will. And now they have the land on which to do it. They are practicing on how to do this. What the Bible, I believe, is it Numbers 19? I can't think off the top of my head. But there it is, what the Bible prescribes as the ashes, the red heifer. They've been practicing. Harvest is that one of the signs of the times. Now, lastly, go ahead. Right there. These are the signs of the times. For us, since these last times, it is that Jesus' coming is very, very, very soon for his bride.